Well, I got to be honest, I'm always super excited, like almost like getting really anxious, like right before I speak to you guys, because I don't get to speak to teens very often, and I get really excited, and especially this time, because this is the last time I get to speak to you guys this year. I know you guys are sad. Hold back the tears. So I was trying to think what I would communicate and what I would give you guys, what truth we would discuss or go over. And we have been currently doing a Bible study in Revelation on Wednesdays with some men. And as soon as we got through the seven churches, I just instantly knew, okay, this is what I want to speak on. I've heard the message before. I know how applicable it is. So if you want to turn to Revelation chapter 3, that's where we're going to be. And we're going to read about the church of Laodicea. Because you can't, you just read that verse and you instantly think American Christianity. Like it's just, basically we are just so filthy rich. And we look at these third world countries, and we look at, like for instance, like Africa, and we think, oh, we're like looking at them and we're sad for them, and we're like, oh, they don't have much, they're without, we want to help them. And then you read, especially like the words of Christ, and it makes you kind of, you're almost like taken back, because it's like we're the pitiful ones. We're the ones where Christ is like, he feels sorry for us. And it's like a totally different perspective than what we're used to. Because we're just like, we think we have it all. And material wise, we do. Like there's not a person in here that doesn't have some type of connection to like internet. And with internet, you have access to about anything you would want. Just the fact you guys are at a private school tells me that your parents or guardians or whoever, grandparents, have some type of wealth, because they're putting you through and paying for your education. And all of that to say this, hopefully our perspective is going to change a little bit once we go over this. Because guys, I look where you guys are at, or where you're at right now. Some of you seniors about to go to college. And I look and I reflect back when I was 17 or 18. And I think of all the teenagers that were surrounding me. And like I was, I was friends with these people. I did athletics with these people. I hung out, I ate lunch with these people, and I look at where they're at 9 years, 10 years later, and I'm just like, I don't think they got it. Many of them, it's just like, there's no fruit, there's no evidence of the Holy Spirit in their life, and I'm just like, it's sad. And I look at a Christian school like this, and I can't help but think that there's, you hear of all the stuff that Mr. Farmer, or even some of these teachers, they have to deal with, or they catch some of you doing. And it's just like there's still this depravity of man. Even though like there's a lot of good kids, like we still have issues, right? We still have problems. We still have weaknesses. There's temptation. There's a struggle for right and wrong. And I think we just lose sight of what really is important. So let's start reading at verse 14 of chapter 3. Verse 14 of chapter 3 in Revelation. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Okay, so now here he's going to address right here, the church. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. Verse 16. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Okay. And right off the get-go, let me just address this. Okay? Being spit out of the mouth of God is not a good thing. Like, you as an individual, okay, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be lukewarm. You don't want to be in this place where God sees you neither as hot nor cold, and he's disgusted. Like, he accidentally drank not this cold ice mocha or this hot cup of joe. It was like that. It's been sitting out for a while, and he sips it, and it's just disgusting. He just comes out. Keep reading with me. Verse 17. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are the one that is wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. See what he just did there? Like, you're uber rich. Okay, if let's just get a show of hands. Who's got a computer? Show of hands. Okay, keep your hands up if you have access to Wi-Fi. Okay? So right now, you know what the, you know, if I brought 100 random people from throughout the world, you would be 3 out of those 100 people just with a computer and internet access. So you are the abnormal ones. You are the exception. You are like the rich people. I brought some of this stuff up here just to use as a silly example. You know, I got this from the vending machine. It's a dollar. Okay, here's a dollar's worth of soda. I've been around teens and even adults long enough to think, you know, like once it starts getting kind of warm, or maybe you, like, I don't like Coke. This is why I felt guilty if I was going to do it with a Sprite. Or I like Dr. Pepper because I like that stuff. I don't like wasting it. But it's a Coke, right? So it's, you know, it's worthless. Okay. So, like, I'm drinking. And eventually, I just, like, say I leave about 3/4 of it. You know, we're at a youth activity. We got pizza. We have other drinks. And it's, like, all the time, Brian probably or Pastor Dave would see it all the time. You're, like, cleaning up after all these teens, after the youth activity, and you just find cans, and they're like almost all the way full. And it's like you just have to throw it away. That's like almost a dollar's worth of Coke, right? But to us, it's like no big deal, apparently, that we left it. Or you got those plates and a pizza, Jack, and it's like, I don't like being wasteful, but my wife doesn't like cold pizza or warm pizza. It has to be like hot. Okay, and like, it's nothing for us to throw away. If we buy a full pizza, we leave it in the fridge, right? And then you never get back to it because leftover pizza is just not appealing to most people. So you throw almost like half the box away, right? Okay, and it's like, I won't be wasteful. But this is a dollar as well. And it's like, I just had a popcorn party for my juniors, and the high-flying potato heads is one out of my 3 teams in Power Hour. They've had the most points and, you know, bring their Bible, bringing guests, participating, etc. And they had a popcorn party. And it was like we were cleaning up just like normal, right? And it was just like tons of popcorn left over. But they wanted caramel, not kettle anymore. You know, so they leave tons of it. Or butter, they want just salt, okay? Just to get to the point here. If you got 100 people all throughout the world, right? 100 people. You would have 53 people who make an average income of $2 a day. Okay, $2 a day. Did you hear me? $2 a day. So this would be half. This would be about half of the amount. Okay, and for us, like, I see it all the time. Like, there's, like, in the weight room, the guys are pretty messy. They leave clothes everywhere, and they expect just adults to come clean up after them. And here's the case. What I've found is when I clean up after them, I've found dollar bills, I've found quarters, and probably in just this year alone, okay, I've only been here about 9-10 months, I've probably collected $5 or $6 worth of change. Okay, no big deal, right? But to somebody, that's almost a half or more week's worth of work. And so, like, a dollar to us is no big deal. And let's say the, I don't know what the average income for like an American, but I would say probably a good, I would say at least average $100 a day. Would that be fair? Okay, and so that's what, 50 times the amount of the average income for a person in this world. And we think what? I need more money. Like, I look at my salary and I look at like my expenses and I'm like trying to budget and trying to save. Oh, I need to start putting some money away in a Roth IRA or whatever. I need to be smart financially, life insurance. And I'm like, I'm looking at all my money and I'm thinking, man, I need to make more money. Lucas, I need more money. But if I'm that average American, and I don't know the number, I'm just throwing it out there, $100 a day, you know what that person who made $2 a day, if they heard me, like some of the discussions I have with my wife, they would think that I'm insane. They'd be like, you make how much? And you're like, you want to make more? Like you're not satisfied? Guys, why am I going through all this? It's because your perspective is your reality, but your perspective is wrong. Okay? Your perspective of I need more stuff, okay? I was a teenager once, okay? And I wanted more stuff. I wanted better basketball shoes. I wanted a new basketball. I wanted new clothes to fit in. I wanted a nice phone. I remember some of my friends, they had like the flip phone. And you could like, you had the little keypad and you could text like really fast. And I remember I still had like the flip. And you were like, you had to hit the button a couple different times to get a different letter. And like everybody's looking at me like laughing. I'm like, shut up, I'm poor, okay? And I look at that and I think of my thinking when I was your age. I was so consumed with stuff. And we can get so distracted that we lose sight of what's important. And this church was so rich that they thought they had it all. Like they didn't really need God for food. Sound familiar? They didn't really need God for protection. They didn't really need God for anything. And because of that, they became what? Lukewarm. Which equals what? Spitting out. Like God's disgusted. It's like this fact that you have like, oh, there's God, but I have all this stuff. It's good, like God's good, I want God, but like, and God goes, that's disgusting to me. I mean, do you realize how good I am? You realize what I've given you? Like for you to compare all this, like this little world and this house and this car and your tablet, your social media, I mean your clothes, your popularity and all these little things, God's going, do you not realize who I am? Like that I created all this stuff, that I give you all these glimpses of heaven and the throne, which we're going to go to Revelation 4 toward the end, just to give you a picture of what God says. Okay, this is what I'm willing to give you. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 18. And we get two examples, Luke 18, Luke 19. We see two examples of two really rich guys. Okay, and there's two different choices. And you guys and I, we have the same choice to make. Okay, Luke 18, verse 18 is where we're going to start. You guys know this story. And a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, okay, so he's talking to the rich young ruler, and he says this, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure where? In heaven. And come follow me. Okay, so here's one thing you lack. You're an uber rich dude, and you have tons of treasure here on earth. Give to the poor and follow me. In 20:23. But when he heard these things, okay, the rich ruler, okay, when he heard this from Christ, he became what? Very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." I mean, did you hear what he just said? Those who are rich, it's super hard for them to make it into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it, just like we would, respond, "Then who can be saved?" And Christ said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And Peter said, or we'll stop right there and then go to 19. So you have this rich guy who's lived this really good life. Sound familiar? I mean, he's probably had a good education. He's abstained from this evil. Okay, he's following probably his father's footsteps and trying to do the right thing. And he's doing all the right things, and he's super rich. Okay, there's the average people, and then there's this guy. And Christ tells him, "Hey, you have a money issue." Okay, and some of you are going, "Oh, I don't have a money issue." Okay, but what I'm telling you is that you do. It might be stuff for you guys. Okay, not so much money, because your parents are the one making the money. But a lot of you, you have a lot of stuff. That if we went to all these other different nations and all these different groups, okay, they don't have that stuff. They don't have all these distractions. Okay, they're seeing God. It's like you talk to Amos and like his background and where he was at growing up on this little orphanage. It's like they didn't have stuff. Like they played soccer with a little paper ball. Okay, and we have all this stuff that's just distracting. It's got all our attention. We're just all in. And then we just, it's like, no, hey guys, there's God right there. Eternity, salvation. I'm not talking about works, but because of your faith, these things are important. You're going to follow God. Okay, the kingdom of God looks like this next character. It doesn't look like the rich young ruler, because he went away sad. He couldn't give it up. Like, he wanted his stuff more than God. And then look, because what did Christ tell these guys? Okay, it's impossible for man, but possible for what? And then he didn't leave it hanging. In the next story, what do we get? Chapter 19. Who are we going to talk about? Zacchaeus, who was really rich. And he entered Jericho, verse 1, and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." Okay, you see the difference? Like Zacchaeus wasn't going, I guess I'll give a little bit back to those who I've wronged. Like, he wasn't hesitating, like, well, here's Christ, and here's all my money, here's all my stuff, here's all my riches and power or whatever. He was just like, I'll give it up, half of it, and four times the amount for those who I've wronged. It's like, you look at the rich young ruler, it's totally different. Like, the rich ruler was going, like, he's having this discussion with Christ, and he's going, I'm really rich. Like, I have a lot of stuff. And then he goes away sad. Like, he was considering the option. Like, he wouldn't have had this discussion if he wasn't willing to follow Christ. And then when Christ gives him the option, stuff or Christ, he's going, I guess, yeah, stuff. You know, you and I, again, we're at a huge disadvantage compared to a lot of people. Because guys, when I look at somebody, it's like I was talking to somebody who goes to church here. And he's been a huge encouragement to me in the last couple weeks because I've got to talk with him a couple times. And he's just like, I wouldn't consider him like this really super wealthy guy in the church. Like, he's just a little older than me. He's got some kids. And he's like, you know, pastor, like, gave some message about, like, tithing. And he was just like, I need to give more. Hey, Nate, is there some kids that I can support? I'd like to support three kids this year. Okay, and I'm like doing the math in my head. I'm just like, that's up there. Almost $1,000. And then he's like, I don't want people to know. I also want to help with, like, people around the church. Like, can you talk to pastor? I'd like to talk to him, and I'd like to give. And he named this amount. I'm just like, man. And I'm, like, really stingy. Like, I'm, like, there's my wife who, like, she'll go to Dunkin' every day. She'll do this. And I'm okay with that. She works. She deserves it. But there's me, and I'm like, this drives my wife nuts. I don't know if you guys see this, but this is like my favorite pair of pants. It's got this huge hole in the right around the knee. And like, she's about ready to throw it away. I know she is. And she's going to go buy me a new pair. But I'm like really stingy. I don't want to spend another $30 for a pair of khakis just to work in, you know? And so like, I'm like keeping my money and I'm just like, okay, I know I'm supposed to tithe. And I'll, you know, I go with that 10% number, and I'm just like, I'll give a little bit more as my offering, right? And I'm just like, I'm just really stingy. Like, I'm just like giving, just God a little bit more. Like, I want to be a little bit above that mark. And I'm like, and I'm talking to this guy, and I'm just like, how pathetic. Like, I'm looking at my life, and 4 years ago, I had three jobs, no insurance, and I was just trying to serve God and like work part-time in the ministry. And that was like, I was just stressed out. For 2 years, I was doing this. I was doing tree service. I was doing some side work. And I was coaching at a Christian school. And then I was trying to do a youth group or lead a youth group. And I remember how like stressed. I remember overdrafting. I remember like not having money in the bank. And I remember me and my wife, like, we were just stressed out. And I'm praying to God, like, help, help, help. And like, I've come to Berean, and God has, he's given me insurance, he's given me a good salary, he's given me this and this and this, and I'm still me. Oh, give me more, Lord, give me more. Like, that's my attitude. Like, oh, you know, promotion would be nice, I want a salary increase, I'm going to work real hard and try to get more and more. And I'm just like, when have I stopped asking God for stuff? It's like, guys, I'm studying this to like give you guys a message, and I'm getting convicted. I'm just like, I'm talking to this guy who's telling me how God's really blessed his life, and he's giving more and more and more to God. And I'm just like, Nathan, do not be lukewarm. Like, there's the treasure of God, there's salvation that Christ has given me. And I'm still like, I'm like teeter-tottering between like, oh, I'd really like a new truck. oh, I'd really like, I'm like, come on, like this is not even comparable. I'm reading Revelation 3 and I'm going, like, God, don't let this be me. I don't want to be disgusting. I don't want to be spit out. Like, do you guys realize, like, are you numb? You go to a Christian school and you hear hell and you go, huh? And I'm just like, no, hell, eternal punishment. Like, go back to Revelation 3. Guys, you do not want to live your life lukewarm. You do not want to be disgusting to a holy and just God who deserves all glory. And this is what he says, verse 16. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. Okay, some of you have already thought this. Well, I might worship lukewarm, and I might be lukewarm in my devotional life or giving God time. I might be lukewarm in loving others. But I'm not, that doesn't make me lukewarm. Okay. Like you're saying, like, I might have some of these struggles. Like I might be addicted to porn. I might not listen to Christian music at all. And I might be pretty spiteful toward people. I'm all about myself, but I'm saved. You guys see what he just describes these people? He describes these people as what? Pitiful, naked, blind. Does that sound like a saved person? Like, do we see that describing those who are believers? I don't really see that in the Bible. So to me, these people who are lukewarm, okay, they're on their way to hell. And Christ loves them that he gives them this letter. Keep reading. Verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be what? Rich. And white garments, so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see those whom, what? I love. I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. He's saying, I don't want to spit you out of my mouth. Jimmy, I don't want you to live lukewarm. I don't want you to end your life lukewarm. Those who I love, I'll rebuke. I'll reprove. I'll show you. Okay, this is how you're living. Okay, this is how I see you, and this is the result. Okay, fix it. Like, guys, there's three types of people that I think that I'm speaking to right now. Because I know some of you. Like, I know some of you are not lukewarm. Like, I can see your fruit. There's some teachers in here. They see these kids or these high schoolers or junior high kids, and they see your fruit. Okay, but then there's some of you where I think you're lukewarm, and 10 minutes from now when we end, you're going to forget this whole thing. Like, you're just going to move on. Like, some of you are going to think, he could have done a better job. He's not that great of a speaker. Some of you are going to think, oh, he's better than some. Some of you are going to be like, oh, I like the message, or I don't really like the message. And you're all going to have your different opinion, and then 10 minutes from now, it's just gone. But you're missing the whole point of the importance of finding yourself And if you, because some of you are thinking, some of you are probably thinking, all the pastors, they just judge us. They're just up here and they judge us and they tell us what we need to fix. They talk about perspective of our worldviews and what we should think, how we should dress, what we should listen to, what the Bible says. And you guys get so caught up in this. You're not evaluating yourself like you should. End of story. Like, you should be coming from a message like this, despite the speaker and his lack of ability to keep you entertained, you should be going, am I lukewarm? Like, God, like, there's some areas in my life, and, I mean, can you show me? I mean, is there some things I need to work on that I need to give to you? Am I so concerned with my stuff that I'm just leaving you on the back burner? Or am I so concerned about popularity and just being accepted and being cool, and I'm just totally forgetting this whole holiness factor? And it's like, guys, it's right in front of you. But some of you won't take the time to go, like, I need to work on this. Some of you are lukewarm and you don't really care, which is scary. Like, I can give you this message and you can say, oh, yeah, I'm lukewarm in this area, this area, this area. I don't care what you're saying, blah, blah, blah. Bible class, care less. Christian school, care less. God, Bible. And you don't realize, like, this is the most important thing in your life. Like, I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Where you're going, I don't really care. Like, this whole Christianity thing, God thing, big deal. Some of you are thinking, I got a long life, I can fix it later. It does not work like that. Some of you, which is really scary, probably the scariest place that you can be at, is that you're lukewarm and you like it. Like, you like being this trouble in a Christian school. You like being the person that's like, I'm the rebel. Like, I don't like rules. I'd like to stick out. Everybody knows that I cuss. Everybody knows that I look at this or I listen to this. Everybody knows that I live like this or I don't care about. And you like that perception. You like being known. And I'm telling you, you do not realize that the message is that if you're like that, a God who created the universe, who created you, and who loved you so much to bring you to Berean where you could hear the word of God, the truth of the gospel, and it be right in front of your face. He loved you that much to die for you. And he's saying to you, I don't want you to be spit out. I don't want you to go to hell. And you're just going, I could care less. And that is a bad place to be. Like, I'm sure Brian and Pastor Sean and most of these teachers in here, if you are probably that description, they know your name, they pray for you. But we can't make that decision for you. I'm not going to have you guys turn there, but this message made me think of the first message I gave you guys, which you guys probably don't remember, is Jeremiah chapter 2. You know, the well, right? The well of living water. And it talks about Israel and everything God had done for them. But yet they decided that they would dig up their own little wells and it was dirty. It wouldn't even hold water. And they're like drinking out of this. And then there's the well of living water. Like, it's just like God's going, you got to be kidding me. Like, look what I offered you. Look at what I did for your fathers. Look at the salvation I've brought to you. Look at. God's just going like, this is a joke. And he's looking at many of us American Christianity, these American kids who have everything in life, everything's been handed to you. You don't even have to ask and you'll get stuff that you want. I mean, let's just forget the things that we need. We all have that. I'm talking about many of you don't even go wanting. You're just showered with all these blessings and stuff and anything you desire. And I'm telling you guys, you have to be careful that you don't get distracted and you lose sight of what's important. Like your own salvation. Yeah, I'll tell you the story and then I'll be done. I remember going into my senior year at PCC, and I'll be honest with you. Some of you that went on the trip, I told some of you, yeah, I went to PCC because of the money. Like, I paid for college. I didn't have parents. I went to public school. I wouldn't say we were poor. Like, we always had what we needed. But like, if I wanted brand new basketball shoes, I was gonna have to buy them. I was gonna have to work. And most of that, I was like, I wanted to buy a truck when I was 16 or a vehicle. So most of that, I didn't spend any extra money. Like, I just saved. I saved, saved, saved. And I remember going to my first year at Hannibal LaGrange University in Hannibal to play basketball, run cross country. And even with scholarships, even with grants, even with assistance, I was like $10,000, $12,000 in the debt that first year. And I went, I'm not going to be $40,000, $50,000 in debt. I said, there's no way. I'm going to have to pay that back, the interest. I knew it was just, you know. So I looked at PCC. I said, okay, I can pay most of it, if not most, all of it, and graduate probably with maybe $20,000 in debt or something like that. And so I went to PCC. Not because of this. I wasn't concerned about my spiritual walk with God. I wasn't concerned about environment. I wasn't concerned, okay. Going into my senior year, God really spoke to my heart. I would, long story short, I worked with my brother-in-law just to almost have like a week off of work. I went with their youth group to this retreat. And I felt like God was calling me to ministry. And I really just felt like I needed to be a clean vessel for God. Like, I just needed to be somebody that could be used. So I surrendered to God. I got rid of my girlfriend. I got rid of tons of my friends. I didn't go back to Missouri for the next 2 years because I was just like, I can't handle that. If I go back, I'm just going to get myself in trouble. And going into my senior year at PCC, I changed my major, which is a big no-no. Okay? Like, I was PE with a minor in history, and I changed it to youth ministries. Okay, so I'm up at going like 100 credits, 95 credits, something like that, going into my senior year, and I'm losing almost half of them, Jack. So, of course, my family, my friends, everyone's going, Nathan, you're an idiot. Don't do that. I don't. No, no. And I'm thinking, and I'm praying, and I'm just going, like, I want to be used by God. At that point, in that moment, my decision wasn't so much, I knew I was going to do youth ministry or whatever the rest of my life, or coach and teach. It was more of a decision of God, I know the treasure, I know the kingdom of God, I know you've saved me, and I want nothing else. And I can tell you guys, I look back at it and I go, man, that was kind of a dumb decision. Because I had to do like, I was a fifth year senior and all that stuff. And I was just like extra credits. Like when you graduate with a 4-year degree and you have like almost 160 credits, you're just like, man, that was stupid. But I look back at it in a spiritual sense and I go, man, I wouldn't change any of that for the world. Like, God did something in me and I let him know that this stuff, that money, an extra year of college, you know, a girl that I'd been dating for 3 years, and like all this stuff, all these things, I told God that doesn't matter. Like, you're more important. And guys, that's been a decision I think that has really blessed me. It's blessed me with a new woman, a wife that I have now, who's just super a big blessing, you know, brought me to Berean. And like, I can't explain how God has blessed because of that decision. It wasn't logical. Didn't make sense. I had a lot of aunts, uncles, grandma, mom and dad that was going, don't do that. And I just knew, like, I needed to show God, like, he's more important. And I'm telling you guys, you're like sitting in this position, just like every other Monday, normal chapel. And I'm just asking you to evaluate yourself. Like, apply the principle and truth that we see in Scripture and go, am I lukewarm? Because many of you you'd be honest at least with yourself and say, I'm lukewarm. But again, are you going to be the person who walks and goes to the next hour and you just forget about it? Are you really going to consider the cost? Like this whole spitting out, like eternal punishment? Like this is important. Like there's, like I hope you guys realize, some of you at least, like I care about you guys. Like these pastors, these teachers, they could make more money. They could do other things. They could go to public school. They could, okay. But we care about young people. And some of you can say, well, you don't even know my name. Okay, there's some of you junior hires. I don't know your name. But I know some of you, and as a whole, I can definitely say I care. This is one of the most important decisions you guys will ever make. Like, am I going to live for God, or am I just going to go through the motion? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your truth. I thank you for Christ, that he loved us, that you loved us so much that you gave us your son. Lord, I just thank you for these teens, junior high to high school, the teachers in here. Lord, I know how big of a challenge it is to just be nonchalant, go through the motion, like a Christian academy. You have Bible class, chapel, parents make you go to church. It's just, you know, it gets tiresome. Like it gets easy to be relaxed and be lax in chapel and worship service and just go through the motions. And Lord, I pray that you would just, the ones who care, the ones who see that they're lukewarm in some areas, Lord, that they would fix it, that they would work on it, that they'd be honest with themselves and evaluate. Lord, there might be teachers in here like myself where we see an area, like for me, I would definitely say it's like finances. I'm just, you know, it's like, it's all about me. Like as long as I give you my 10%, I'm good. You know, I'm lukewarm in giving back to you when you've given me a healthy body, that you've given me so much, and yet I'm still not satisfied. Lord, I pray that we would, as adults, as examples, we would challenge ourselves and say, Lord, is there an area where I'm lukewarm and I can work on? Lord, I pray for those who don't care, those who like being lukewarm. And Lord, I pray that you would change their hearts. And really, there's no speaker, there's no teacher that can change their minds or their hearts or save them. But Lord, it's all up to you. The Holy Spirit has got to convict and yearn and move. Lord, I pray that you would do that. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Lord, thank you for this school. It's not perfect, but Lord, it is a light and they are receiving truth. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.